if you've got your Bibles open to John chapter 15, let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word, and we'll read a couple verses here and then expound a little bit more about what I promised last week was our fruit bearing. We want to again bear fruit, and we want to look at what that fruit bearing is in a little bit of detail here this morning. John chapter 15, you follow along in your Bible as I would read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch in me, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Look down at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Father, praise you for your words. Thank you again for this chapter and the importance of abiding. Thank you for the illustration of the vineyards that surround us here today. And as we consider our abiding in you today, I pray again that you'd help us to consider our fruit as well. And Father, we'll give you the praise for touching your words, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide the thoughts and intents of our heart. Do that this morning. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated as we consider this again. I want to preach this again because lots of times Christians, and sometimes it's Baptist preachers' fault, have all the ideas about what fruit bearing is. There's some verses in the Old Testament that talk about he that winneth souls is wise. That's in Proverbs and also in Daniel. He that winneth souls turns from a world of sin. James again talks, you know, maybe it's Jude talks again about being able to turn people from sin by being a soul winner. Paul says that well, he does everything he does so that he may persuade men and preach the gospel. Certainly we are to preach the gospel. And so we've noted the idea that if you're not bearing fruit, if you're not winning souls, you're not bearing fruit. And I'd like to waylay that again here today and understand exactly what it is to bear fruit. And here we have again the emphasis on the importance of bearing fruit. And so let's look at that, the beginning section there again, because that's curious to me. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. What does it mean to bear fruit here? And notice that, what does it mean if the branch is in them, in Christ, and is taken away? I'm not exactly sure how to word that. I don't know exactly what that means. It makes me nervous again. There are several places in your Bible that talks about people who cannot be my disciple. And I'm hoping that this is one of those. I'm hoping that this is talking about being a disciple versus being a believer. Let's walk through that sequence again. The Bible says that in Acts chapter 2, when they first preached, that there were believers, and the believers continued in the doctrine of the apostles. That's where they became disciples. The believers were added to the church in there. Let me back up. The believers were baptized and added to the church, and then they continued in the doctrine of the apostles, and then they were called disciples. And then later on, they acted like Christ, they smelled like Christ, they walked like Christ. Listen. They reacted like Christ. Therefore, they started calling them Christian. And sometimes we don't realize the weight that's in that word, Christian, but it implies being Christ-like. Today in America, everyone's Christian, and Christianity has something to do with Rome and popes and stuff like that. It has nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity is a label that was given to those that had their lives so changed that they were Christ-like. And so, again, whenever you see that label, I want you to, first things first, think of being Christ-like. Are you a Christian? Are you Christ-like? Again, are you born again? That makes you a believer. Are you in training for Him? That makes you a disciple. And so there's lots of verses where Jesus referred that they could not be His disciples. Some won't be disciples. And listen, whether they're saved or unsaved, I don't know. I cannot answer for that. And praise the Lord, I don't have to answer for that. Some of your loved ones, some of your kin, some of the people that you have seen with a profession of salvation, and they never darkened the doors of the church. You never saw a change in their life. And listen, the best way to do that, especially if it's our kin, our loved ones, is to pray for them as if they are unsaved. Don't give them the benefit of a doubt. But listen, when you go to the funeral, you do not know. And again, all you can do at the funeral is give them the benefit of the doubt. And so that's kind of my policy, is I try not to give them the benefit of the doubt. If I don't see any fruit, if I don't see any changes, then I am leery of their salvation. Brother Boyd always said, if you didn't get enough salvation to get you in church, you probably didn't get enough salvation to get you into heaven either. And so notice the importance here that there are some that just never become disciples. Are they saved or are they lost? I don't know. And I'm glad that I don't have to give answer for that. But they do. And when you and I question that, especially when it's in our own children, notice again, a safe answer has to do with whether you give them the benefit of the doubt or not. And so some disciples never become disciples. The question is, are they really saved? Are they really born again? Have they been quickened? Are they in Christ? And notice this verse here implies that that branch was in Christ. And so these would be no fruit Christians. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit. There's a verse again in Matthew that deals with whether they bear fruit or not too. And I don't like this one any better, but let me go ahead and give it to you. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. So we have three types of non-receptive soil here. First one is wayside soil. Verse 20 of that chapter says, but he that receiveth seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon the joy with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a little while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, and by he is offended. Verse 20. There's a verse in the Bible that says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Verse 22 of that chapter says, he also that received seed among the thorns. Did I just read the thorns? The thorns, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Someplace in one of those parables, it's more about him being offended. It says again that he hath not depth in himself, the stony ground, or the waste, the stony ground. Hath not depth in himself. Boy, I tell you, I'm worried about that in our society. There's not a lot of depth in people. The three generations of teaching them evolution in our high school system, there's not much depth in people. People don't have a depth of character, a depth of discipline, a depth of study. They don't just have the depth that people used to have. I'm reading a 100-year-old book on inspiration by Galson, and I considered myself reasonably educated again, but boy, some of the sentences he puts together, I've got to stop and go back to diagramming sentences here. What is he saying here again? And listen, they had a lot more depth in their education system way back 100 years ago than we have today. And so notice again that scary there. And notice what this last verse says, verse 23 of that chapter 13. Of Matthew, but they that receive seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringing forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Notice again that it seems to imply in that section of Scripture that if there's no fruit, there's no salvation. By their fruit ye shall know them. The Bible says that over and over again. And so when you're citing on the not giving them the benefit of the doubt, we need to be fruit inspectors and understand that, hey, there's some people that maybe they profess salvation, but maybe they went had cried and had prayer, and I can come to mind right now with five people that I've seen get saved that never had their lives changed. And I don't know what to do with them, very honestly. But this section in Matthew about the soil, that's much rougher on it than I want them to be. And so again, there are those that never become disciples. Praise the Lord. Again, here today, just by virtue of your being here, I'm expecting there is some desire that we would be disciples, that we would learn of Him, that we would grow in Him, that we would continue on and worship Him, and that we would bear fruit. So let's go ahead and address again here today those fruits that are listed here, and notice what it says about those that are in Him and bear fruit. And every branch, verse 2, that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. Life as a Christian, when you're trying to pretend to be a Christian, it's hard to act Christian, okay? And I've often said, it's not hard to be Christian, but listen, here's a verse that says, when you are a Christian, there's some troublous times ahead in your life, and they are coming so that you would be purged and able to bear more fruit. And so, again, what does it mean to bear more fruit? We had some quizzes in our house today, and I failed them all, to be able to name the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Lest we give the test this morning and someone fear fail, let's look at Galatians chapter 5 again. And we'll look up these 9 fruits of the Spirit. This is what I want to center on here today in the minutes I have left, is that we could recognize that these are the fruits of the Spirit. And so let's go ahead and take it in Galatians chapter 5 and look. You should have them underlined, highlighted or something, and counted out. The 9 fruits of the Spirit. Count them 9. They're easiest to name in triplets. So you get 3, 3, 3. That's 9 again. And so that's how I try to memorize them. And it don't work well for me because my mind's old and got cobwebs in it. But memorize these again and watch for these. These ought to be in our life. And we want to go ahead and begin walking through this list of 9 fruits of the Spirit. Before we get there, we got to back up and look at the setting. And starting in verse 16. And then we've got to look at 18. Now these are not fruits of the flesh. Notice what they'll be called is works of the flesh. Isn't it curious? They give 18 works of the flesh and 9 fruits of the Spirit. So Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, then, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now stop right there and think about what we had just talked about, whether you can walk in the Spirit and still fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Can you do that? Can you be in Christ and still spend your life fulfilling the lusts of the flesh? There's a pastor, Carpenter. I'm not sure that his name, he was a pastor. He was a church planter, and he comes to the pastor's fellowships. I hope to see him again this week. But he said that he got saved when he was 18 years old. And then he lived like hell for the next 20 years. When God got a hold of him again, he surrendered and he started growing. But he said, if anyone had seen me during those 20 years until he was in his early 40s, if anyone had seen me, they'd have never thought for a minute that I was saved. There was not a single fruit, but I was a born-again Christian for all those 20 years. And I thought that was an interesting testimony. I pulled him aside and talking about it a little bit of what that's like, because I've seen a lot of people that I'm hopeful for that it really did. They really did get saved. And so notice here again that in this verse 16, there are, can be those that are in Christ, but they're walking in the flesh. I hope that's not you, And I hope there's none in that category here today. If there are, let this verse reprimand you a little bit. For 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Remember, Paul, when he was explaining this, here he's explaining it to Galatians. Later on, he addresses it in Romans, and he says that there's this war going on inside of me, and here's the description of that war. Verse 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Now stop right there and ask yourself the question, am I led by the Spirit? Am I following the leading of the Spirit in my life? Is there a relationship with Christ so real in me? Did I talk to Him this morning and ask that I would follow Him and that He'd help me? Are we led by the Spirit and are we following? And then He gives two sets of lists here. I always like lists in the Bible. They're easy to preach, and I'm kind of a simple guy. Look at verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh," not the fruits of the flesh. These are the works of the flesh. "The works of the flesh are these," are our manifest, and they are these. 18 of them. Here we go. "Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." And such like is the 18th there. I threw that in to get the numbers right. And such like. And in the margin of my Bible, I tried to break these out, whether they were selfish, and yes, they are. They're either selfish with sex, they're selfish in our religion, or they're selfish with just plain old selfishness. And so notice here in these 18 lists, there is self, self, and self. Self in our lust, self in our religion, and self with our person, I guess you'd have to say, is the categories that they're in. And so those are the works of the flesh. Let's look now at where we're headed here, where we want to be for our message today, is this list of nine starting in verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is," here we go, let's do them in threes, "love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So there's our nine fruits of the Spirit. And in John chapter 15, if you're going to bear fruit, here's the fruit list. Okay? And so all of these ought to be in our life. Not one or two. "Well, I like this one. This is my calling is to be this." No. All nine of these need to show up in our life. And so we want to spend a little bit of time categorizing them. And then I want to read a dissertation written by John on them. And so consider here first, let me back up and say that John is writing seminary stuff. I don't know what you call that in the secular world. I guess it's like postgraduate stuff. Is that what it would be after college? This is postgraduate stuff. Now, it's not postgraduate on the understanding level. This is postgraduate on the living level. And praise the Lord, if you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you, all of us here have the ability to read on a postgraduate level. Okay? And so that's what John is writing. Think about that. And so I've broken out here how the authors are. And if you pull out this little slip that you have, not the pink one, the green one. If you pull out your little reading slip here, I put these in chronological order. And the Bible teaches and the Bible reveals things of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And it's a progressive, I don't like that word, but it's a progressive revelation again. And so notice again that he doesn't just dump out everything and that's the end all truth. No, he gives you a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And listen, the New Testament is the same way. And so it's good to look at the order that the books were written in, and that's what this list does. If you turn all the way back, it must be to October, we start reading the New Testament. So we're not even going to get to the New Testament on our reading schedule until you get to October. And so, again, when you pick up the reading schedule for October and start looking down through there, I want you to know that Matthew, Galatians, and 1 Corinthians is like being in grade school That's the early stuff. That's the stuff that you need as a basic building, a foundation. Not the reading level, not the understanding level, but the building level, again, is on the base. It's a foundational stuff. Matthew, Galatians, and 1 Corinthians. We're going through 2 Corinthians in our Sunday school hour. Then we move on to junior high, and you'll notice down in our reading schedule, I think you're going to the next month, we get into Mark, and we read 2 Corinthians, and we read Romans, and we read the prison epistles of Paul, and that's like a junior high school level. And that's where, again, we're building, again, we're getting to a higher level. It's good to have a good foundation, and we're moving up with that. And then we move on to high school, finally, and Luke, and Timothy, and Titus, and the charges that Paul gives Timothy. That's high school stuff. That's, again, where we're, again, moving on, and we're learning things, and we're building even greater, and we have a better ability to hold truth. And then we get to college level, and now we haven't got to John yet, so we've got to have a college level in here, and that's where we're reading the book of Hebrews. Turn with me to book of Hebrews. I like this. And again, I'm talking about the development of these truths, but look what it says in the book of Hebrews. That's right after Timothy, Titus, Philemon. And look with me at chapter 6, and then back up a few verses. Just a couple of verses to verse 13. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." That's what I'm talking about, is our growth, our maturity, our building, our life in Christ. And here, notice again that it says we're going to start putting on the meat now. We're leaving the milk behind and we're going to the meat. And notice that Paul, or the writer here, rebukes them because they've been saved for 2 years and they aren't even able to take meat yet. And so it's unnatural. And then look at verse chapter 6. I love this. And he says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ." Here we have seven doctrines that are the basic principles that ought to be built in your life before we start digesting what John is saying in John 15. And notice what they are. The doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of repentance, the doctrine of faith, the doctrine of baptisms. And the baptism's plural. That's not just water. That's being baptized into Christ. That is, again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those are the three baptisms that are involved in a Christian's life. The doctrine of baptisms. The doctrines of laying on of hands. That has to do with ordination. That has to do with church officers. That has to do with being surrendered to preach. The laying on of hands. The doctrine of the resurrections. And finally, the doctrine of eternal judgment. The seven doctrines, again, are building blocks, and there they are outlined in Hebrews. And he says, hey, we're moving on to a higher high school level now. And then finally, the last, a 90-year-old preacher took a pen and started writing the final chapters of your Bible. And he began and he wrote this. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." I left off verse 2 because I forgot what it was. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And so John, when he began to write, listen, he is on a... You've already got all that foundation. Now let me tell you again the crescendo of all of this. And he talks about your relationship with God. And then he talks about your relationship with God. And then he talks about your relationship with God. And that's all we want to talk about through the whole month of January. And here we are, third weekend. And we're still looking at, again, this building of a relationship. And now we're up to where we're bearing fruit. And so this is deep stuff here. One more list. Two more lists. I'll just skip this one. But remember in Matthew chapter 5, there's a list. Remember Matthew back in grade school? In Matthew again, chapter 5, it covered again the, I call them the nine blessed R's. Blessed are the, what was the first one? poor. Poor in spirit. Is that it? Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed. 9 blessed R's are given there. Blessed are ye when men speak. When persecute you, blessed are when men revile you falsely. And so again, a list of 9 blessed R's. And listen, that's something you just got to get used to in your life, that there's going to be times again when this Christianity isn't all walking around on clouds. There's stuff going on in our lives that's meant to purge and make us bear more fruit. It's to form us into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so you have the 9 blessed R's. And then let's turn to this one. Make sure you got this one marked in your Bible in 2 Peter. These are Faith 7's edition. Faith's 7 editions. And so 2 Peter and chapter 1 covers that, and it's down on the right-hand lower right-hand column of my Bible. That's how I always found it. And it says this, and besides this, these are 7 additions to your faith. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. There's another list of things that ought to be added into our life. And so those things have to do with our growth, have to do with our effectiveness, have to grow with our coming and learning and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we're talking about the bearing of fruit from John chapter 15. So let's go back to John chapter 15 here again and look at that list. It's in Galatians 5, but we're applying it in John chapter 15 in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Not just a little fruit. Okay, I got a little of this, I'm good. No. When you got a little of it, there's things going to come into your life where God purges your life, where God sends you circumstances, where God puts you in situations, where God flattens your tires, where God leaves you stranded, where God again tests your faith and pushes your buttons in order that your fruit may increase. And so that's called this purging. And we've got the 9 fruits of the Spirit that are going to be purged in our life. Now let's go back if you have... I guess I meant to go to Galatians chapter 5 because we're going to look at that list again. Let's look at that list again in Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to tell me as I go down through this list whether this is internal or external. So I want you to think about each of these fruits. And tell me whether they're internal or external. Galatians is after Corinthians, even though it was written before, so I'm confused here. Galatians chapter 5. Internal or external? Does this fruit profit you, or does it profit others? Is this fruit going to be something that you consume, or is this fruit something that is an advantage to others? Y'all understand the distinction there. There are some fruits, again, that are an advantage to others, and they see that in you. There are other fruits where we can just sit in a corner and enjoy it all ourselves. It all belongs to us. So look at the list of 3 here. Love, joy, peace. Love, is that enjoyed by others or enjoyed by you? I mean, predominantly. I'm granted there's advantages to both. But again, and when we have love, notice again, and you will go through a ton of illustrations here, it's always showed towards somebody else. Your love, again, shows up when someone else is in the room. Your love of others. And so that's more or less an external. How about love, joy? How about joy? Certainly your joy should get on other people, but listen, you can sit all alone in a room and just have the joy of the Lord is my strength. It causes me to laugh. Ah ha 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 ha. And so notice again that joy is something that just sets in our heart, in our soul. Peace. That's something that we consume upon ourselves, that we have an inner peace. We have a, no matter what the circumstances are, we've got a peace. Do you see again where we have some that show on the outside with others and some that just consume us and cause again that we wallow in that relationship in that regard? And so we have love, joy, peace. I turned my page and missed it. Long suffering. Is what?
Internal.
It could be, because you could, sometimes some of us have to be long suffering with our own idiot selves again. understanding that we've still got that old nature. But listen, we're not to be long suffering to that, are we? We're supposed to slay that daily, actually, again. So notice that the long suffering is dealing with others predominantly. That others, again, when they offend you, when they say things, you need to be long suffering towards them. How about gentleness? Gentle towards others. How about goodness? Showing goodness towards others. And so that list of three is predominantly stuff that shows up in our interaction with others in our life. And again, those are fruits of the Spirit that ought to abound in our life. And then the last three, I really don't know what to do with this, so I made a new category. It's called internal with a plus three outward effect, faith. We've got faith. And listen, that's internal. Where do we get our faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... There you go. We've got meekness. And notice again, being meek again is something that we need to consume upon ourselves, but certainly it has an effect on the people around us. Opposite of meekness is haughtiness, thinking that you're better than somebody else. Boy, I could camp right there in a lot of Baptist circles I hang out in, thinking that you're better than somebody else. We're a KJV-only church, and we're better than anybody else. No, listen, understand, there's a whole bunch of people just struggling out there under that issue. And you're not better than them. You're, again, just more blessed right now because you've got the truth and you know it. But don't keep a meekness about it. Then the last one, temperance. I got another whole message next week. We'll preach on temperance. And what does temperance mean? If you don't know what temperance means, I encourage you this year to do a 3-day fast. And you will learn some things about temperance that you never knew before. Temperance, that's called self-control. Controlling your spirit. If you bang your head on the car while you're taking off a muffler, and then you smash your hammer through the fender, what's that called? That's losing your temperance again. And so, listen, well, I've got a problem with my temper. No, you've got a problem with your temperance. And that's a fruit of the Spirit. And listen, we use our temper to control others vilely. That message is coming up later. We'll do that later. Let's look at a dissertation on love. And I know I've gone over time. Don't reprimand me for that. Let's just look at what John, now he's going to be the professor in seminary now. He's going to teach us what this first fruit of the Spirit is. To me, and it's not first, oh, by the way, let's list this one first. No, there's a priority in this list. Love, joy, peace. Love, and the fruit of love in our life is joy and peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness is dealing with other people and being forgiving. Remember in Matthew and when he gave them the model prayer, some people call it the Lord's Prayer, the first thing after he said amen was, if you don't forgive other people, I'm not going to forgive you. That's pretty serious there. And so being able to deal with others with forgiveness, with long-suffering, with gentleness, with goodness. Your pastor still got to work on that. My own military career allows more Article 15s than it does gentleness and goodness. And then the last three, faith, meekness, and temperance. Again, all of these, but of the greatest of these, as we've already heard from Paul, the greatest of these is charity, again, and having that in our life. There's a lot of overlap in these lists I've given you, too, and that's another curious thing to look at. So let's go ahead and look at a dissertation on love. Turn to 1 John. And I was amazed, again, at how much 1 John talks about the love. And so I'm just going to run down through and read you his dissertation on love. I'm going to read the whole thing, although it wouldn't hurt us to spend the time to do that. And I'd encourage you to just sit in one reading to read, what is it, all five chapters of 1 John. But look at chapter 2 and verse 5. is where I want to start with my diving board. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. That's important. Romans 8 says, his spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. We need to know that we are in him. And John, you're going to remember some verses coming up. These things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. But here's a verse that says, listen, when his love is in us, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Jump down to verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Ooh, look at this verse. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 11 of that chapter. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever, verse 17, but whosoever hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Verse 23 of John, 1 John 3. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Verse chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Down verse 16 of that chapter. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we found from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Chapter 5. But this we know, or by this we know that we love the children of God. Now this is just turning that thing around. How do you know that you love the children of God? Well, here's a test. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. Do you see that? That this is a back and forth relationship, that we love God, therefore we love people. We love people, therefore that proves that we love God. And keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Well, I got saved and I love God, but I ain't going down to church. I can worship out on the lake. Listen, what you're missing there is just the love of God and the love of the brethren to gather together with them. And so, notice here again that this is a tremendous dissertation on love. I've just picked out a few of the verses. I don't think I even captured all the theme of some of them. But the idea here is that when you're a born-again Christian, the love of God is the fruit that's in your life. And guess what? If you've got the love of God, that's a fruit of the Spirit of God. And listen, some of it needs purged. Sometimes your life needs purged that it could bring forth more fruit. And that's true of our love. Take a dipstick and measure your love this week. And make sure it's what it ought to be. Love of the brethren. Think about right here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, our own folk. And listen, we're to have a love, a brotherly love, it's mentioned. We're to have a love one for another. We're covenanted together in that regard. Notice again that we're to have a love of our brother man, whether they're saved or unsaved. We're to have that love for them. And notice here again that this love ought to permeate our life, and it is a fruit of the Spirit, and it comes from sap. Just like a grape comes from sap again. Did you ever cut off I go out in the springtime and whack off some of those vines that's hanging on our forest that's got vines 40 feet up in the air again. And you cut off a vine, and I'm not kidding, if you put a bucket under there, you could catch probably two or three gallons of water comes running, gushing out of that vine. And listen, that's what bears fruit. If you're connected to the vine, you're getting your sap levels right. Listen, you'll bear the fruit of love. It'll start showing up in your life. And again, if we're not abiding in Him, we're going to have poor fruit in that regard. Well, I've gone for 40 minutes. Let's go ahead and dismiss with this that, hey, we need to have all nine fruits of the Spirit. We covered the primary one here. And this one, again, is what builds and seals and confirms our relationship in God, that we have a love. We love His commandments. We love His Word. We love the brethren. We love God. And God is love. And again, having that in our heart. Now, sometimes we've heard so much in the world of love, 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 and they think that's what... in Penn Yan, up in Geneva, there's the Love Church. I always say, where do you go to church? I go to the Love Church, and that's what they'd say. Sometimes the world has all the wrong ideas because they get an imbalance that God is a God to be feared. He's not just a God of love, He's a God to be feared. And the fear of the Lord is a beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is a beginning of understanding. The fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom. And so we need that kept in balance. But boy, never miss the fact again that when Christ comes into your life and things are working right in your relationship, there is a love for the brethren. And there's a great peace that comes out of that. There's great joy, as it says here in his letter in 1 John, that your joy may be full. And again, it's tested by our love. Father, praise you and thank you for what your word says. And Father, again, as we would consider again our relationship with you, our abiding in you this week, I pray again that you'd touch our love levels this week. Cause again, Father, that we'd know where they are and that we'd know what you're doing to improve them. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. There is a name I love to sing. I think that's in our book, isn't it? Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's stand. We're going to dismiss with that as our invitation. Do we find it in there? There is a name. It's not in there?
Yeah, 183.
183. That's Christmas.